Blog Talk Radio.
Do you lie awake at night wishing for something better? When you look at your future a year from now, is there a light at the end of that tunnel? Do you feel like you were meant for something more? Opportunity will not come knocking on your door unless you're out there looking for it. How do you do it? Our guests on the Empower Radio Show will be sharing their secret to success. We'll be bringing you authors, speakers, entrepreneurs from many different fields who come from various backgrounds. They will be sharing their stories of success and of early failures. You'll hear about the challenges they faced when they launched their ideas and the creative ways that they overcame obstacles. Our guests will inspire you to find your way down the path to success in this ever-changing world. Jump on board and become empowered.
Welcome to Empower Radio Show. This is Linda Baez-Dedis, and I am your host. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm always excited when someone takes time out of their busy day to spend a few minutes with me. And so we're really excited today because we're going to have a great show. And, yeah, today's show is about dance. So get your dance shoes on, folks, because we're going to have a great time. You know, there's something about dance that I think kind of bypasses some of the brain functions. My father and my mother, they always loved dancing. And I can remember as a young girl seeing them dance in the kitchen. And in fact, that's the way they met. They met when they were out dancing. And I just remember there was this rhythm about it that just seemed so light and so fun. And the interesting thing is that my father had Alzheimer's. And even when he was in a nursing home, there would be musicians to come in and play some of the old country songs, you know, because that was what that generation listened to. And the nurses always commented that my father was always on beat. He always remembered the steps. And it was steps that he and my mother had danced for many, many years. So it was something that kind of bypassed the brain. It wasn't like he was counting one and two. It bypassed that. It was something that lived in him that came very natural. And I know that they talk about a certain amount of this could be muscle memory, but when someone has Alzheimer's, you just kind of wonder, what do they remember? What does their body remember? So I thought it was really interesting to think about that when our guest today I knew that she was going to be on the show. My guest today is Barbara Jo Stetzelberger, and she is a board-certified dance movement therapist. And she has a clear sense of how the body and the mind work together. And remember I said that it was almost as though my father's body moved without him even thinking of it, because he couldn't even speak at that time. So he had lost a lot of his ability to do just everyday stuff, but when it came to dance, he was right on beat every single time. So it was really very interesting. And, you know, Barbara Jo is also an interplay leader, and she works as the artistic director for New Art Connection, which is an outreach program that gives foster girls life-changing experiences through expressing joy of dance. So I'd like to introduce you to Barbara Jo Stetzelberger. Barbara Jo, thanks so much for being on the show today.
You're welcome, and I'm just delighted to be here.
Well, you know, as I mentioned in the beginning of the show, I was very fascinated to think that our body kind of carries a rhythm, and watching my father dance when there was no way he could have remembered those steps really made it interesting when you talked about being a dance movement therapist and how that actually comes to play and how that can help someone to get past maybe some really tough experiences or emotional issues that they've dealt with. So before we get started, how did you get into this dance movement therapy? Did you have some training in formal dance?
Well, there is, to become a dance movement therapist, you have to have at least 5 to 7 years of some sort of professional training so that you understand the depth of being in your body, the challenges of moving into dance deeply enough that you are integrating the brain and the body, like you said, bypassing brain functions. So, yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. But it really goes back, my earliest training really goes back to my living room. And my mother would tell everyone to get out of the living room. She'd turn down the lights. She'd put Scheherazade, one of my favorite records, on. She'd open the curtains so all of the windows created a mirror for me. And she gave me her scarf drawer.
Mm.
And I think that first experience, I mean, I went to ballet class and I did those things, but to feel that total freedom where no movement could possibly be wrong and that total joy, so there wasn't any separation between the music and my body and what I was thinking and what I was seeing. So I think that was probably the root of my dance training.
Mm-hmm. And you were what age, Barbara Jo?
Oh, that probably happened from... oh, anywhere from 4 years old on up through eight?
Yeah. So as young children, especially young girls, you know, I know that young boys have a tendency or some enjoy dance more than others, but there is something about, and I could just feel the dance with the scarf. You know, it just, there's such freedom. There's just such flow there that it allows you to express things that maybe you just can't articulate. Would you say that sometimes that's what dance does?
Absolutely. Everything we've ever thought, everything we've experienced, every emotion we've ever had is in our bodies.
Now, when you say what does that mean?
Well, what that means, when you were speaking earlier, you talked about bypassing the brain and the body memory or memory and the muscle. They're really not separate things. We're not really bypassing the brain. What we're doing is we're drawing more brain functions into play. And we think of our brain as being located in our head, and we often think of our brain as being our mind, you know, that dialogue that goes on. But actually, our brain is all the way through our bodies. You know, we experience an emotion in the body first, and the brain, the words, just kind of interpret that. So we really think of brain functioning as something that's separate from the body or that's something that comes first. Is this making sense to you?
Absolutely, because, you know, I was thinking of some moments in which something happened and I could feel like a shock in my body. So it wasn't necessarily just my brain. Like you said, it's sort of like it goes throughout your body. Is that the way I'm understanding it?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And you talked about working with clients or mentioned that. That's one reason why something like dance movement therapy can be so effective in working with trauma, because trauma very clearly is a body experience. You know, it happens in the body first. It circumvents those cognitive understandings. It just goes straight in there. So by using movement to express or to experience some of that body sensation, or to be able to tolerate it being okay to have something that is that intense in your body, then you can meet the trauma where it is and move it forward, and then start to look at how the body expresses, and then start to put words on the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Versus a body experience trauma that's so intense that it gets locked in the body. And you could talk about some artists.
I was gonna say, do you think that starting out with the dance movement therapy kind of unlocks the door for even a talk or conversation about this trauma?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so who are some of the clients that, what are some of the trauma, or what are some of the life situations that you have helped some of your clients through?
Well, I think a good example would be the New Art Connections, the outreach I do for Kathy Dunhamrick Dance Company, where that's had many, many different forms. But a good example would be the work with foster girls. And most of these girls, they would not be in a foster home if they didn't have layers and layers and layers of very difficult experiences. They're often very traumatic. Sometimes traumas are developmental, meaning that they had a trauma of not having the opportunity to be held and to bond with their mother. So all of those are very, very complex. And they have therapists and people to talk about all of those things. And that's very important to understand these things that have happened in their lives. But through dance, you can actually experience what that body needed. For example, with the girl, something very simple as a mirroring exercise where one person is sitting with their hands up and the other hands are matching, and one person starts to lead that movement. And very soft music is put on, and they take turns doing that. There's a sense of being seen, being held, being respected, being attended to. Now, we could talk about all those things, but that's not going to get in the body like that experience of a safe person softly looking us in the eyes, following our movement, wanting to be with us and go with us wherever we go. And none of the movements can be wrong. None of the movements have to be any particular thing. And then from that place of being held in that experience, then there becomes a sense of grounding, not just safety with another person, but being able to breathe into and relax into their own body by being seen in such a gentle and respectful way.
Now, what age are the young girls that you work with? It seems like, There are a lot of children in the foster system, and I don't think that the average person understands what that life looks like. And if they don't have some issues when they enter the foster system, if they don't end up with a good, loving, caring foster family, it could just compound that problem. Now, what is the age group that you work with that most benefits from the dance movement therapy?
Well, I go for the big challenge. I work with teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons I do that is by the time they're teenagers, very often a lot of the programming sort of falls aside. People would kind of prefer to play with the younger children or feel like, well, the younger I work with them, the more chance I have of having an influence. I like to work with the teenagers because, well, for many reasons, but because it is so challenging. And when you do create a place that's safe and they can open, I think it has an even more powerful impact.
And, you know, of course, being teenagers, they're probably more open to listening to music as well.
True. True. Well, okay, so one thing that often happens with adolescents, and particularly this population, is they've had a lot of areas that they haven't been successful. And this is all part of resiliency theory, that for someone to be resilient, they need to have success cognitively, like in school, success in civic involvement, success in these other areas where a lot of them haven't had the privilege of being involved in a team sport or the opportunity to do that. Because of all the trauma, they have not done well in school. So they kind of shut down these other avenues for experiencing themselves as successful. But a lot of them do have access to their physicality, like you said, through music or through dance, through movement. So that sometimes they, that piece of success or empowerment that they can have about their bodies is often a doorway into some of those other places.
Mm-hmm. So when you work with the young girls, these teenage girls, what kind of changes have you seen happen in their lives as a result of working with them with the dance movement therapy?
You know, Linda, without fail, every time we do our presentations after a workshop and they're asked the question, what most did you get out of this? And without fail, they say trust.
Mm.
And without fail, they say not just trust in these other people, but I'm learning that I can trust myself to choose when I want to do something or who I want to be with or what movements I'm going to do or not going to do. So that is very significant. Another is that they're often surprised that they could get along with and create something with some of these girls they've never met or that they've only known in a certain context within the foster system, that they've found ways to be with them in totally different ways. One other that I think is really important is the staff sees them in differently, and they see the staff differently because there's attendants that come along with us, and I ask them to participate or to be present, and they'll be involved in some of the things that we do. And they experience them from that body-to-body, playful connection, respectful place, something that's totally removed from the regular environment. And that changes a whole tone in the agency. And so I've had the agency bring me in to do some training with staff to help find, are there some ways that we can evolve this within our agency and build on this because it's so incredibly valuable. And one other thing is in trauma when there's acting out or something that moves towards violence or aggression, there's seen shifts in that when girls have other ways to move into the body in an aggressive, powerful way and move that energy, you know, through and out their bodies, or other tools about how to self-regulate and to breathe or calm themselves. That's tremendous that there has been reported fewer times where restraint methods have had to be used.
Wow.
I know.
Barbara Jo, before we go any further, I know that people are listening out there and they're going, this sounds absolutely incredible. If someone wants to know more about you, wants to know more about dance movement therapy, how could they get in touch with you?
Well, I have an old-fashioned telephone. You just pick up a telephone, and I'm at 513-301-0452 or 512-940-7256. And I have my website is mindbodyfit.com. And my email is barbarajoe@mindbodyfit.com. And for information a little more specific to the work with adolescents, go to www.kdhdance.com. That's Kathy Dunhamrick Dance Company. And there are some pictures. Pictures are always so much more powerful than words. There are a few pictures of some of the teams and further description of the programming.
Mm-hmm.
And then for dance movement, there is the American Dance Therapy Association, and there's lots of information there.
Mm-hmm. You were talking about giving the girls tools and exercises to kind of help them work through situations, especially if they're not in the studio and working with you. A little bit later, could you kind of walk us through some of those that we might be able to benefit from ourselves?
Certainly. Certainly.
Okay, very
and
good.
Linda, a lot of the movement choices or things that I lead the girls through are not much different than anything I would not lead an adult through. In some of the work with women, with adults, individually. So that it's not really isolated for, you know, it's not specifically for teenagers.
Right.
You know, we all need
right.
to feel more trust and safety and capacity to expand and play. So.
Right. So, you know, what you're saying is, you know, we've been talking about and you've been sharing some of the experiences that you've had with the foster girls that you work with, but you work with adults, you work with all ages and who are able to benefit from this dance movement therapy. And what are some of the other situations that you see adults face on a daily basis that they could either you could help them get through a little bit easier, or they could work through by using this particular type of therapy?
Let me go to the other end of the spectrum. You spoke initially about your father and Alzheimer's, and going to that end of the spectrum, very often cognitive memory can be fueled from what the body remembers. So he remembered rhythm, and then that would take him into perhaps steps, or then perhaps into remembering words of song, and then the word of song might bring him back to remembering some part of a relationship or an experience. So there's a lot that can happen through dance movement therapy to keep the brain engaged in different ways, since it's not functioning in the same way that it has. So you can use the body to help keep all of those other functions working or having more access to them. And on the other part of that, as that fades away, being able to connect with someone non-verbally through dance can be a wonderful gift. Even if that dance is something as simple as swaying and clapping your hands, or something, for example, my mom has Alzheimer's. And last time I was up there, my dad had put some music on, and there was an old boogie-woogie piece that came on. And she's not a dancer or doesn't have any real memory of that, but I said, "Hey, Mom, you want to dance?" And there's a playful state that an Alzheimer's person and move into. She goes, "Sure." So she just had her elbows bent, and I bent mine and took her hands, and we just did a little wiggly back and forth, and I said, I'm going to go out for a spin, and I'm coming back, and she went out for a spin and came back, and there's just a light in her eyes. And so just to have that kind of moment didn't have anything to do with any memory, didn't have to do with anything that might be ahead, but it gave us a way to be together in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the other end of the spectrum.
I love the story because it also allowed you and your mother to have that little childlike play back and forth, too.
Exactly. Exactly. And then you ask about, you know, people of any ages or, you know, adults. Shifting feelings, you know, we can get so stuck in repetitive thought or even levels of depression where it's hard to, quote, move out of that. And one of the things we think is that somehow we have to be happy to play. Oh, well, I don't feel like playing because I'm not happy. Well, maybe we need to play so we can get happy. So sometimes bringing, that sounds like a huge jump, but through the body you could start something very simple that could move into feeling a little more playful. Then you're activating other areas of the brain, and then the emotion shifts, the brain chemistry shifts, and when that shifts, the thought shifts. So something as simple as, say, that mirroring exercise or playing with the breath, or we might do, like you said, we might do an exercise later. There are some basic coordination patterns, but just going through a simple series of movements that initiate those coordination patterns can really make a shift. Now, that might not change the person's life or the problem they're going to go have to face when they walk out of the room, but it totally changes their capacity to choose how they're going to be in relationship to that problem. Then they have more resources, maybe even hope, you know, feeling a little more lighthearted, so that they can be refueled and refreshed and then have more resources available to go about the problem-solving piece of the work. Well, and, you know, when, and I know this has happened to me, I don't know if it's happened, Indy, to you listeners out there, but there have been times in my life that I feel like I've stubbed my toe, and then I've, you know, fallen down, and then I, you know, broke a fingernail, and it kind of spirals as one thing after another after another, and it sounds like this could kind of maybe stop that from happening, you know, just break that cycle just long enough for you to catch your breath maybe and not feel quite so dark and dismal. And not that it would completely remove depression, but it could allow you to maybe lift your head up just a bit. And, you know, am I understanding that, Barbara Jo? Yes. Well, you can lift your head up because your body feels different. You've loosened things up. You've changed how your nervous system is functioning. And then, just like you said, you lift your head up, and then we'll talk about, okay, so let's take a deep breath, and let's look at what you were able to just do. You were able to go from a state of feeling down and depressed, and you made choices that made a shift to now where you're feeling more aware and alert in the room. Let's see if we can use that now and focus on some of the things that are really challenging you right now. And then we would move into the more verbal aspect of the therapy so that the body then, so because when you can't solve a problem from that same state of a problem. If you're depressed, you're not going to undepress yourself by talking about the depression. That can be more depressing. So if you can shift some of the, that's part of what a medication does. It changes the physiology, and movement can change the physiology. So then you're in a place, do the kind of emotional and psychological work that can move you into a greater state of healing. So you can understand the problem or take the actions around the things that are causing the depression. Can I respond to something you said earlier about the scrubbing the toe?
Certainly.
So that's a perfect example of how the body shifts emotion, except it's going the other way. You know, you bump something and then you're upset about that, and then you bump something else and upset about that, and then all of a sudden, oh, well, that's just how the day is going to be, and everything's falling apart. So when you go the other direction, you have an experience that feels good in the body or that's positive, or you're in that body state and you realize, wait a minute, I don't have to go that direction. I can stop and I can take a deep breath. I can shake things out. I can take a big stretch and open my body rather than contracting my body, and then start to use the body to bring yourself back up that, you know, spiraling on up the staircase rather than down into the pool of having a horrible day.
So let's talk about the exercises. Do you have one that maybe you could walk listeners through to get kind of give us an idea of how we could use it ourselves? Because when you say dance movement therapy, it doesn't mean that we have to actually be dancing. Is that right?
Absolutely. The movement can be as simple as taking a deep breath. You know, in fact, Linda, sometimes I wish it wasn't even named dance movement therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
people have kind of a block of, oh, well, I can't dance. I'm not a dancer. Or, you know, we've all had ways we might have been embarrassed about maybe not being a good dancer. So we all have, you know, ideas about that. But movement, you know, is freer. So I'm glad that you made that differentiation, because I think movement can be dance, but it takes it into a different territory. Okay, so you want to try something?
Absolutely, we'd love to.
Okay, so first thing would be to take a deep breath and then let it out with a little sigh. Take a deep breath. Don't let a sigh out as you exhale. Which one felt better to you, Linda?
I think the sigh did.
Yeah. So just that letting, so that's kind of a way of physically letting out feelings you don't really have to, you know, have words for, just really moving that on out through the body. So there's one very simple exercise, deep breath in. Great. Okay. Do you have a hand handy?
I do.
<All right. laughs> Just hold up your hand. Now, hands are great places to start dancing because we use them all the time. You know, we're not too inhibited about our hands. So first, move your hand around and look at how many amazing different ways it can bend, the wrist, the fingers, it can open and close. So there's just this appreciation for the hand, and it's attached to this amazing body. Part of dance movement therapy is just an appreciation for this amazing temple we occupy while we're here. Okay, so now, if you could, move your hand into a shape. And then, slow motion, move it to another shape. And then, slow motion to another. Take just 10 seconds to have a little slow motion Tai Chi experience with your hand. And really watch it. You flow from one shape to another and come to a pause and see if there's any other way you might want to put your hand that feels more satisfying. Maybe you find the most satisfying shape you can make with your hand. Good. And take a deep breath. Now I'd like you to take your hand and make it into a tight fist and then throw something away, just throw it. And take a few things and just throw them out. I want you to be just kind of like a fake karate expert for a few moments, just chopping or throwing. And maybe try a sound with that. Good. Take a deep breath.
Well, I have to tell you that I had some tension in my back and in my neck and shoulders before the interview started this morning, today, and I don't have that now. That is very interesting.
Yay.
And Brother Joe, that was that, what you walked us through was so very simple that you could almost do that even if you're at work.
Absolutely.
It's something that could, if you're in a stressful situation, so listen, folks, if you're in a stressful situation, you're in the office, just go through some of these exercises that Barbara Jo mentioned. Very simple, very easy to do, but I have to tell you that I feel so much more relaxed now than I did earlier today.
That's wonderful.
And with relaxation comes the clarity, because when you're stressed or uptight, then you can't think clearly. So when you're able to be less stressed, then you're going to be more productive. So if you're at work and you feel like you can't get through this project for some reason and you just can't get clear about it, do some of these exercises. You might find that you'll get the clarity that you need to make the next step with it, to complete it, to do whatever it is that you're doing and be able to move on. I love that, Barbara Jo. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's very, very helpful. Again, I want to give you an opportunity to tell everybody how they can get in touch with you, your website, so that they can find out more information.
Absolutely. My phone number, 512-940-7256. And, of course, those numbers will be on my website at mindbodyfit.com. You can email me through the website. If you want to know more about some of the outreach, go to www.kdhdance. And the little exercise we did was taken a bit from some of the interplay. And so if you want to know more about interplay, you go to interplay.org. And I do want to let you know that I will be doing a lecture at the UT School of Social Work Professional Development Department. I'll be doing that in March. So that, if you're in the area, I would love to have you join me for that. And you could go to www.utexas.edu/ssw/CEU. And I would encourage you, when you shape and move your hand in that slow way, you are balancing your nervous system. You are soothing everything. You're moving into a soft focus, and it's a state of gentle control. And thrusting, you're in a state of power. You're moving from the inside to the outside, the things that you don't want, and you're also very sharply focused on your capacity to be strong in the world.
I love that, Barbara Jo. You were mentioning that you do workshops. So if someone's listening and they would like to contact you about doing a workshop for either a corporation or for an organization, association. Is that something you would be open to visiting with them about?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love my work, and I love to share it. And yes, it would be a blessing and an opportunity to be able to bring it anywhere else. Right now in my life, the most important thing is to be able to share and expand my work. So I would love to do workshops, whether it's Interplay. You want something that's a little more seriously focused as to how the brain functions and why these particular movements work or don't work, something educational or totally playful or a combination thereof. Be happy to talk with you about what might most meet your needs.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Folks, I would encourage you to check out Barbara Jo's website, the mindbodyfit.com. You can contact her through that, or you can contact her through her email, barbarajo@mindbodyfit.com. She does some fabulous work, and it is work that is, it's a very gentle way. I see it as a very gentle way, a very gentle approach to some very difficult issues that we may be carrying with us. And some, you know, we may be carrying some issues that we don't even know, but they color our daily life. So all of us could certainly benefit from Barbara Jo's work. Now, we're down to those last three questions, Barbara Jo. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Great. So the first question is, when faced with obstacles, what kept you going?
Well, the answer is going to be very simple. Dance. Mm-hmm. Throughout my life, most of my true healing has come through my body. When I danced professionally in my 20s, I unfortunately broke my back. And through that, even gentle movements and breathing, it was through my body then in that experience that I learned how to make choices that were really in my best interest, what my body needed, when it needed it, how to respond, and how to nurture myself. So that was my body that's led me through healing. And then dance also. I had a horrible loss when I was 33. And the only way that I know I could have coped with it, I know people find all kinds of ways, but to dance, I could have all my feelings at the same time. Because if I talked about one thing, it would leave the other thing out. But in dance, I could have everything together at the same time and move with it and not have to explain it, but not have to keep it locked up, that pain inside of me. So those, really, my body is what's helped me continue to move forward, and it's part of my passion on sharing with other people how to access that for themselves.
Mhm. Mhm. Oh, that's beautiful. And dance also doesn't limit you to the word, whatever the words are that you choose, because it seems like there are times when there are no words to express it.
Yes, it's beyond words. There's an American Indian saying that if it is put in words, it is a lie, because words cannot contain truth. That's a loose translation.
Right, sure. Okay, so our next question is, other than a coach, who has influenced you the most?
I really thought about that question, and it came down to something very simple. Hanya Holm, who is one of my dance instructors in New York City, I think she was in her 80s when she was instructing, and she would say, children, you must do what you want to be. You must do what you want to be. So no matter, you only know how to dance if your whole dance is walking at the moment. So if you want to dance, you better start walking. And then you can do the next thing. So it's the action of doing that creates the being and the doing, but you must do what you want to be.
Mm-hmm. And that starts with the baby steps.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's also when we're doing, we're still in that act of creating, not, well, when I get there or when I do this, to really be in action about the thing that you love. So, yes, we might need to get the education or have this experience to also look at what I'm doing right now is how I'm growing into that.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, the last question is there one thing you wish you had known early on that would have saved you time and money that you want to share with our listeners?
Let's see. Well, in terms of specifically of dance movement therapy, there are programs that are integrated. You have to at least have a master's in a licensed psychotherapeutic discipline, whether it's a licensed clinical social worker or an LPC. That's a requirement. And then dance movement training then is on top of that, often as postgraduate work. It's an additional discipline. And but there are some programs that integrate those two things that you could get your master's and your first registered dance therapy designation simultaneously. And so that is one thing. The other thing is, if you do that, and there's a lot of young people now, dance therapy is becoming much more popular. They're going that direction, but not knowing that you still need a strong clinical platform. There's very, very few dance movement therapists, but that's all they do is dance movement therapy. And really, you need a much broader clinical reach. You know, had a lot of experience in working with trauma, a lot of experience with anxiety and depression, and all that that entails. And then it's the dance movement therapy link that helps you really build on that and utilize all that clinical knowledge, as well as a way to make a living.
Because
the jobs out there, just the dance movement therapists, you pretty much have to create it.
Yeah, very good. Well, Barbara Jo, I so enjoyed having you on the show today and introducing our listeners to dance movement therapy. It's certainly an approach that it sounds like it is growing in popularity and becoming more well known. So it's good to be able to help get the word out there even more. So thanks so much for being on the show today.
Linda, thank you so much for inviting me. Very, very appreciated.
Absolutely. Well, folks, that is dance movement therapy. And I bet you didn't even know it existed. Isn't it great to be able to join us here on Empower Radio and learn new things? So I want to leave you with a thought of the day. And this actually came from Barbara Jo's website, and that's the mindbodyfit.com. Moment to moment, we experience energy, thoughts, feelings, and sensations that flow through our minds and bodies. When we take time to get in touch with all facets of this flow, we actively turn away from pain and discomfort and towards health and wholeness. You can find that and so much more on Barbara Jo Steffelberger's website. Be sure to check it out, mindbodyfit.com. Thank you so much, folks, for joining me today. And I look forward to having you next week and when I'll have more great information that you can apply to your life today. Thanks for joining me.
As we close our show today, we want you to know it's time. The time is now for you to cast off the chains of mediocrity and reach for that brass ring. The time is now for taking that giant leap to start a business, Step out of your comfort zone and become the you that you've always dreamed of being. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Empower Radio Show. That's at MPOWERRADIOSHOW. Thank you for being with us today on the Empower Radio Show.